What's going on, Longhorns? Welcome back to On Texas Football. I'm CJ Vogel. We just wrapped up day two of the NFL draft. Rounds two and three are in the books. Five total Longhorns have heard their names called so far through two rounds of the 2024 NFL draft up in Detroit. The event in Detroit looks tremendous. Packed crowd, a lot of cool former players. Barry Sanders was up there, a number of Hall of Famers making picks as well. The draft always does a great job of making things, a big festival, big magical show, whatever it is. This year, a bit of an orange hue in Detroit, a bit odd, of course, Michigan winning a national championship. That team was out being highlighted before the round started, of course, and, the Detroit Lions, they bring a certain color of blue to the city, but a lot of orange, of course, on display, burnt orange in that regard. Of course, Byron Murphy, Xavier Worthy going in the first round yesterday. This round two, it started with three Longhorns here. Of course, T'Vondre Sweat, the first one, we'll start there in a second. T'Vondre Sweat, Jonathan Brooks, and Adonai Mitchell hearing their names called in the second round of the NFL draft. Congratulations to them. That makes five Longhorns being selected in the first two rounds for the first time, I believe, since 1938 that's happened. I know it's a long time. No kidding. But since then, the league has evolved. The league has merged. The draft has evolved. It's, in the seven-round system that we're currently in, far and away the best production of draft picks the Longhorns have seen in quite a while. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to Steve Sarkisian. Also among that, the Longhorns were tied with a number of schools for the most draft picks through the first two rounds as well with five. Alabama, Georgia, Washington all had five. LSU, Florida State had four. And Michigan, surprisingly, only had three despite sending 18 players to the NFL Combine. A bit of a surprise. Of course, they then turned on the heat a little bit in the third round with multiple players hearing their names called there. So definitely worth mentioning there. I did also want to say, I mentioned that the draft itself in the second round had a very orange hue to, the festivities. Three Longhorns were announced to be drafted into the NFL, as well as three Longhorns that did the announcing. And I thought that was really cool to see them back on display. Jamal Charles announced for the Kansas City Chiefs. Leonard Davis announced for the Arizona Cardinals. And Aaron Williams was up there multiple times for the Buffalo Bills, who started the second round taking Keon Coleman instead of what many anticipated being A.D. Mitchell with pick 33 to begin the second round. Of course, Adonai Mitchell fell quite a bit to pick 52 for the Indianapolis Colts. I'll talk about him in a second, but I did want to start with T'Vondre Sweat, because he was the third Longhorn taken in the 2024 NFL draft. I'm not sure many, if anyone, had him going this early, this quickly in the NFL draft. He goes to Tennessee. Of course, the Titans have been a bit of a rebuilding right now. They're trying to find their franchise quarterback. They just moved on from Vrabel. Adding defensive line help is going to be a big piece for them, of course. You look at what they've got right now. They've got some solid pieces, of course, and you add T'Vondre Sweat to a rush defense that was not very good a year ago. But the Titans, as we've known in years past, that's kind of been their defensive identity. You're not going to find much success running up the middle against them. They have a very physical MO to them. That's kind of been what has allowed them to have so much success in the AFC South and, of course, in the AFC playoffs, making an AFC championship game not too long ago. But interestingly enough, T'Vondre Sweat goes to 38. The off-the-field issues do not impact his draft status, nor does his weight. And he actually had a comment afterward. If he's able to get down to 350 to 355, T'Vondre Sweat thinks he's going to have a hell of a career and end up potentially, his words not mine, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's, of course, a conversation to have maybe 10 years from now, but certainly something that he sees for himself and believes that if he is able to get his weight under wraps, that is something that will help elevate his game. And worth noting as well, T'Vondre Sweat and Keandre Coburn, who was drafted by the Chiefs a year ago, back together on the same defensive line. The two of them are now Tennessee Titans, and we'll see them on the field together at times in 2024. Moving on to pick 46, Jonathan Brooks ended up being selected a bit earlier than I think a little, you know, some folks expected here as well. Another riser amongst this 2024 Texas draft class, Jonathan Brooks ends up in Carolina. He will be, of course, joining Bryce Young and the Panthers, who need all sorts of help on the offensive side of the ball. They've already added a wide receiver. They've already added an offensive lineman. Now they go out and they add Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Texas, who, of course, tore his ACL a year ago, who probably would have won the Doak Walker Award, which would have been Texas's second straight Doak Walker Award winner following Bijan Robinson in 2023. Instead, Tashard Choice, Steve Sarkisian, and the Texas program get to boast about producing the number one running back in the NFL draft for the second consecutive year. That's pick 46 in 2024. Pick 8 a year ago was Bijan Robinson, obviously going to Atlanta. So the two of them will get to face off twice a year, of course, in the NFC South, as the Panthers and the Falcons play each other twice a year. Will be interesting to note. I did want to highlight Tashard Choice, of course, being able to produce not only Bijan Robinson and Bijan Robinson and Jonathan Brooks, but also Jahmyr Gibbs and Roschon Johnson. That's a healthy, healthy group of running backs. It's going to help Texas. It already has helped Texas on the recruiting side of things when it comes to luring in these big-time national prospects at the position, but also getting them to understand why staying with Tashard Choice in the Texas program is so important. Right now, a big task ahead of Jaden Blue. I know that's been a conversation he's had with some folks behind the scenes is, yeah, you know, Texas has just produced running back one and Bijan Robinson and, oh, yeah, and running back one, Jonathan Brooks. Two back-to-back years. Who's the next draft-eligible running back on the Texas roster right now? Well, it's Jaden Blue. So big year ahead of him. Big shoes to fill, of course. Him splitting carries or at least, being in that tandem with C.J. Baxter. It's a heavy draft class at the running back position as well when you look at Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, and a number of guys who opted to return a year ago. Right now, Jaden Blue, big shoes to fill. But, of course, with Tashard Choice, you never know. Anything is possible there. The speed will be what separates him in that regard. But now getting to pick number 52. And this one is interesting to me. Interestingly enough to me is the biggest question mark so far that we've seen from a Texas draft spot. Adonai Mitchell falls to the Indianapolis Colts, which there's a couple of things I wanted to mention about this. The NFL, or the second round of the draft, started with Keon Coleman at 33 going to the Bills. 34 was the LA Chargers trading up to draft Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Good pick. Also a place where I, at least early on in the offseason and NFL draft preparation, had mock draft Adonai Mitchell to the Chargers in the first round. Clearly, they liked wide receivers. They need a wide receiver. Right now, the only guy that is worth mentioning on that roster is Quentin Johnston out of TCU, who did not have a good rookie season a year ago. So I thought Adonai Mitchell was a good fit there. Clearly, they did not see that. And then Jalen Polk ended up going 37, the second Washington wide receiver drafted in the 2024 NFL draft. They actually ended up with a third as Jalen McMillan got drafted later on in the third round. But that was interesting. You know, that dropped Adonai Mitchell to wide receiver 11 in the NFL draft. Not many expected him to fall out of the top 10. Not many expected him to fall out of the first round or the top 7 or 8, depending on who you saw your mock drafts from. Not great. And we know about the reports about Adonai Mitchell's off-the-field issues, his character concerns. Listen, I've been covering Texas for a while, and I know that Adonai Mitchell was a good ball player. I know that at times you would have liked to see more effort, more consistency, maybe a little bit more determination in his craft. But at no point did I think there were character concerns to drop him to 52. Not with the player that he is on the field and the way that at least he conducts himself in the media light as well. So that's concerning to me. And I wanted to mention this because Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, had some comments, I would say some pretty, you know, stern words in regards to these character concerns that allowed him to drop to the Indianapolis Colts, calling them, quote, effing BS. And I, in the quote there, but he goes on and says for about a minute straight that it was BS and at least not what he and his staff had been able to go out and under you know, unveil about A.D. Mitchell's character. So I go back to the Texas Pro Day, and this is interesting because we've talked about, you know, Texas had a whole slew of coaches, 95 scouts, executive position coaches, three NFL head coaches in that that day at the bubble as well. Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, was in attendance. Reggie Wayne, a wide receivers coach for the Indianapolis Colts, a Colts legend, in attendance as well. Guess who they got to sit around and interact with and shake hands and understand what kind of character they were dealing with? Well, it was Adonai Mitchell, who, again, with a 4.34 at 6.3 and not having any drops in 2023, that's a hell of a prospect. And again, for them to sit back, trust their own evaluations, their own handshake conversations with A.D. Mitchell, I have to imagine that's a heck of a steal. You get to pair him up with Michael Pittman as well for a young quarterback in Anthony Richardson, who's hoping to bounce back from a shoulder injury a year ago that derailed his rookie campaign. All I know, that is a heck of a duo. That's a heck of a value for the Indianapolis Colts, and they're getting a heck of a ball player. Oh, and by the way, Sam Ehlinger is on roster right now as the QB3 for the Colts. So good to have another Longhorn in Indianapolis. It feels like right now you can look across multiple rosters in the NFL and see a number of Longhorns, something that hasn't always been the case. Now, turning of the tide, Steve Sarkisian era is here. Longhorns are going to be littering the NFL. Two names that were also in consideration to go day two in rounds two and three, but were not heard from the commissioner or any of the guest announcees were Christian Jones, the offensive lineman, and Jatavion Sanders. And we'll start with Sanders because, of course, that was a name that we expected, or at least many draft experts expected to hear in maybe the late second round or early third round. Early in the season, I think it was a consensus, thought that Jatavion Sanders was your tight end too. Well, that was not the case. Ben Sennett out of Kansas State was your second tight end. His name is Tip Reedman out of Illinois was the third tight end as well. So no Jatavion Sanders falling out of the top 100 of the draft. Was that expected? Well, depending on who you talk to, I think so. And we know that Jatavion Sanders was going to fall quite a bit because of his pro day, his combine, and certainly the way in which he conducted himself in those big interview opportunities in front of draft scouts, coaches, and executives. It was not a good pro day, and I don't want to hound on him, but again, the highlight there was the 8 reps. He looked disconcerned with the opportunity available to him at the Texas Pro Day. 8 reps of the combine, didn't jump very far. His broad jump was bad. His vertical jump was bad. Seemingly every testing number that he was able to produce, not only at the combine, but the pro day, was lackluster. And it was confusing because, again, a guy that we know and have seen over the last 3 seasons at Texas, all we've heard about is, yeah, this guy has worked his way into becoming an NFL caliber tight end. We know he's a great athlete, 5-star guy coming out of high school, great hands, struggles with separation, isn't a great blocker. Then again, you start seeing the testing measurables and red flags started popping up left and right for the guys that make the big time decisions in the NFL. So we'll have to wait till Saturday morning to get an idea of where Jatavion Sanders will play his NFL ball. Round 4 cost himself a lot of money, that's for sure. I'm a bit surprised. I had him going 89 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so the back end of the third round. But again, he's fallen all the way out of day 2 into day 3. Not great for Jatavion Sanders, but again, I like a lot of people who have watched him believe he has an NFL future in his cards. And then going to Christian Jones, who was the only other Longhorn in consideration for a day 2 pick in my eyes. This one wasn't too much of a surprise for me. Again, Christian Jones and the steps that he's taken in his Longhorn career has been tremendous. Is he a day 2 pick? Not to me. Day 2 picks are guys that you know are in consideration for being an all-conference guy, all-American conversation. Maybe not so much all-American, but certainly in conversation for the all-conference. Christian Jones, it took him quite a while in his NFL or college career to get those steps, to even be in the conversation, to being a plus on his own offensive line. So to see him even in the conversation for sneaking late into the day 3 or at least going day 4, that's a testament to him and the work that he's put in behind the scenes. And, of course, to Kyle Flood there. But no, I have him going 123 to the Texans in the 4th round. We'll see where that goes, obviously, tomorrow, or I guess Saturday when you're watching this. But right now, that's not too much of a surprise to me. All that matters, of course, is that he does get drafted. Other names to be on the watch for Saturday morning when rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 take place. Obviously, Jalen Ford, linebacker out of Texas. Jordan Whittington, will you see his name come up? Ryan Watts, the cornerback. And, of course, Keelan Robinson. Will either of them sneak late into the NFL draft? Texas sitting right now at 5 draftees, all of which coming in the top 52 picks. A great showing, of course, but you'd like to see that number balloon up to about 8 or 9 potentially, hopefully even 10. That would be quite the statement for Steve Sarkisian in year 3 at the University of Texas. But all in all, so far, you have to be pleased with the 5 names selected. Big risers in Tavondre Sweat and Jonathan Brooks. A bit of a fall for Adonai Mitchell. And, of course, the fall from Jatavion Sanders kind of offsets that. But with the way that things are looking right now, this is going to be the new staple for the Texas Longhorns in the NFL draft. Hearing names called very early on, something that you can get used to, especially with the rounds 1, 2, and 3 for the Longhorns. But we'll see. That's day 2 recap, rounds 2 and 3 of the 2024 NFL draft. I'm CJ Vogel. We'll have draft coverage more so on ontexasfootball.com. So come be an OTF OG, join the crew, join the community, and we'll talk to you over there. And we'll have a later update today on rounds 4 through 7 of the 2024 NFL draft. But y'all enjoy for today, and hook 'em.